law school, baby. It all starts here.
Caleb Parsons is 6'9 swingman. You can shoot the three.
This is why you don't teach lessons.
Exactly.
You basketball fans are terrible and shameful. Hello and welcome to the second podcast of this weekend. We have a special thing coming for you. It's a NCAA tournament bracket special here for Alligator Sports. I'm Adam Berry, the assistant sports editor here at Alligator Sports. And with me today is Kyle Maestri. And to start it out, we want to talk a little bit about our some great moments we remember from tournament picking history. Kyle, give me some.
All right. So when reflecting on my tournament career, it's had its bright spots. It's had its terrible moments. But without a doubt, I think picking Vermont in the first round to beat Syracuse in 2003, Tom Brennan led Vermont team over Syracuse in the first round. It was a 14-3. Book it. Absolutely had that. A kid in my class actually in high school, I remember he had Syracuse winning the whole thing or at least going to the championship game, and I told him they would lose, and they did. So that's my glory moment. One moment not so shining for me is... if you will. Nobody else seemed to pick up on that. But anyway, thanks, Adam. What would I do without you? Anyway, last year I had... No, I'm sorry. 2 years ago, I had 2 6 seeds going into the Elite Eight. They were Vanderbilt, who was a Jeff Green travel call away from making it in the Sweet 16, which was actually another good moment for me. And then Notre Dame, who was absolutely awful and lost to Winthrop, but they got throttled by Winthrop, actually, in the first round, busted my bracket up. One of the worst predictions that I've ever made, and definitely something I still take crap for my friends to this day.
All right, I'd say my best is when I was a senior in high school living in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I boldly predicted that the Florida Gators would win the national championship, and that was not a popular decision there. Sure, it was an easy-to-make decision, you know, on the national scene. I got a lot of crap for that from my fellow Tennesseans, but... you know, I got that, and I won, like, the school-wide bracket challenge. Got my name announced over the loudspeaker.
Glorious. Yeah. Glorious.
Yeah, I mean, was promised a prize, and strangely enough, never got that. I think I was supposed to get a basketball of some kind. Never did. My low moment, this goes back, like, 2 years. The same year Florida won their second championship, I picked Davidson to win, like, a first-round game or something. My brother was like, what are you doing? And my one-word response to him was, believe. So then we come back next year, Davidson makes that improbable run, and because, you know, they lost that game that I told my brother Chad to believe about, I was like, you know what, I'm not going to take Davidson this year. And then of course last year they go off to tournament glory.
Those hurt just as bad as those losses.
It's what could have been, man.
Alright
but also joining us today, two people who have apparently had very mediocre tournament bracket careers, Phil Kegler and Mike DeFerdinando.
Which I'll certainly be addressed as Mr. Bracket during this podcast, so we'll just go with it.
Yeah. No, you will not.
I just want to point out the subtlety of Kyle's one shiny moment. Comment was not lost on me. Best part of the entire tournament, so get ready for that. It's a great... every year it's great.
Yeah, Mike, his tournament career has probably not been so rocky, because he, coming into this, I think he was like, you know, are all ones too wild here to make the Final Four? I mean, his bracket's about as conservative as it gets. So let's get into this, Adam.
Yeah, actually, before we get into the picks and everything, I just want to plug our bracket challenge that we're doing here for Alligator Sports. You can click to it from our homepage at alligator.org. or to our page at alligator.org/sports, sign up. If you get every game right, which you won't, but, you know, there's always a chance, you can win a... Sorry to hurt your dreams.
How dare you?
I will, but okay.
Maybe you'll get struck by lightning 3 times, but...
Well, I plan on getting every game right but one. So if you want to win the prize, you're going to have a perfect bracket.
The prize is $100 million, so obviously there's a lot to play for there. Also, if you beat us, beat our columnists, beat our writers, you get, I think, $200 in gift cards. So there's good stuff to play for, even if you can't get that $100 million. So once again, look for those banner ads on our site and sign up for that as soon as you can.
Well, let me just say, we're all terrible at this. Don't be confused by the fact that we get paid to write about sports. We're all horrible at filling out brackets. So come on, definitely fill out a bracket, take a shot. You got just as good a chance as we do.
Mr.
Let
Bracket.
Let it be known. The cop speaks for himself over there.
Oh, yeah. Phil...
I may miss two this year. So if you just miss one or get the perfect bracket, then you may be eligible for the prize. I might even go out to dinner with you. But let's roll.
$100 million. If you're of the female persuasion.
We're offering these people prizes here. We're not punishing them for winning. All right, and let's move into that. Once again, before we get to the brackets, the picks and stuff. Kyle, you wanted to say a little bit of stuff about how they pick these brackets and some of the RPI stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to talk, you know, with all the sabermetrics we see in baseball and these newfangled statistics, some of them are great, some of them aren't. A lot of the things we see now are RPI rankings for teams and strength of schedule. And you look at it, and some teams, you know, seem to be impressive. They seem to put some emphasis on it. I want to get into what RPI is, because it's been this mystery when really it's not a complicated formula. It's not breaking down the QB rating system, something everyone can wrap their minds around. It's something tangible, and let's get into it. And the way they break it down is this. Your RPI is a percentage comprised 1/4 of your winning percentage for the season, really simple. 1/2 of it is your opponent's winning percentage for the season, and 1/4 of it is your opponent's opponent's winning percentage. So the teams that you've played, the teams they play factor into it as well. However, nowhere in this RPI system does it factor in winning against those teams. You simply have to schedule them. So when we came on previous podcasts and we said the Gators need to schedule better non-conference, we weren't lying to you. You know, just by scheduling tough teams, you are gaining an advantage in the RPI because it's just saying that your total body, they look at it as your total body of work. How big of an undertaking are you going through in your schedule? And that's what it indicates. I don't personally like it too much as a measure. Same thing with strength of schedule, because it doesn't factor in the fact whether or not you beat those teams that are helping out your RPI, which I think obviously would be a better measure. But that's my take on the RPI, and I'll pass it around to D for let's get some of his thoughts.
The RPI is a horrible stat. It's extremely deceiving because, like Kyle said, you can schedule a bunch of really great teams and get killed in all those games, and it makes you look great. So I don't think the RPI is necessarily something we should really be relying on to make these picks.
I think one of the biggest examples of this is if anyone followed Georgetown's demise during the middle of the season. They were like, I don't know, like 14-10 at one point, and their RPI was like 20. Like, it was so high because they had, I think, the toughest strength of schedule, if not top five or something. So that just shows, because obviously they're not a good team. They're in the NIT. I mean, they didn't make the field, and they shouldn't have made the field, but yet their RPI was ridiculously high.
Yeah, and one more thing on that. I think that for bubble situations where you're trying to get those last couple teams in, RPI, terrible stat. Terrible stat, because you have fringy teams. When you're trying to pick out one seeds and two seeds, maybe it makes a little more sense because you've obviously had a plethora of success throughout the season. You've done very well. You've got racked up wins in your schedule. So you've beaten those teams that have been on your schedule, and the high RPI is more indicative. So when you see like a team like Duke or UNC is number one, whoever it is, that says something to you that says, hey, they've racked up all these wins. They've only have a couple of losses, but they've done it on a tough body of work.
What do we think is the best way to measure different bubble teams? I know for me, kind of looking at the schedule, seeing who they beat, those top wins as ESPN likes to show, the quality wins and the quality losses. To me, that's kind of the best way to measure.
But by quality losses, did you mean bad losses?
I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah, I just
losses.
Wanted to make you clarify that.
Yeah, I think Phil's right. The big wins are really important. Did you play good teams and you beat good teams? I think another step. That is refactoring is how you played on the road, especially in your conference, because the NCAA tournament is one big road game, and if you can't win on the road, you're not going to win the tournament.
Well, yeah, Defer's 100% right. Those are the two factors as far as I'm concerned. It's where you stack up as far as teams that you've beaten that you know are in the tournament already. You've proven you can beat tournament teams, and then the road games and neutral site games. And, you know, I watched the chair of the selection committee come on today and say that when they were trying to decide those last few teams that were going to get in, one of the things that they really put emphasis on was road wins, allegedly. They said that we want to see big road wins, teams that were able to win away from home. So neutral site wins would count in there too. I don't think they followed that. I think they just paid lip service, and I'm going to get into a rant very, very shortly here. But that should be a determining factor. It's a great measure of a team. A lot of teams play well at home, but how you play away from home is really a good measure.
A lot of analysts like to talk about Joe Lunardi, some of the other ESPN guys, some of the guys at Sports Illustrated, like to talk about how teams are entering the tournament. They talk about records in the last 10, the last 12. I know sometimes it's talked about that kind of plays a factor in the tournament. Selection committee likes hot teams. I don't know how I feel about this. How do you guys feel?
I think I like hot teams a lot. I think it's really important if you're a hot team. I think a team that's playing well down the end of the year, you may struggle in the beginning of the year trying to get your footing in your conference. Maybe some guys are younger, develop. So I think if you're playing well at the end of the year, you're going to play well in the tournament, which is brings me to the point. One of the teams I thought should have got in, Auburn, did not get in. Well, I'll talk about that later.
Right. Great point by Phil. Yeah, we've neglected that. And, yeah, how hot you are heading into the tournament, they always show you, you know, what they've done in their last 12, maybe their last 6 if you're getting a little closer look. That's very important because, as Zephyr said, the teams come along and they're not the same teams that they were early in the season. One of my favorite, you know, terrible announcer quotes was I was watching a game and it was a March Madness game and he's like, at this time of the year, the freshmen just aren't freshmen anymore.
There's no freshmen anymore.
Like, oh, that just makes no sense whatsoever, but you kind of get the gist of what he's trying to say. The freshmen come a long way over the course of the season. Players develop, and it's just not the same team. And another thing that kind of goes along with that is how healthy are you heading into the tournament for some of these bubble teams, which we'll get into later with one specific West Coast Conference team, which shall remain nameless for right now.
All right, moving on from that stuff, I have a list of questions here that we're going to go around the room, a couple of specific things. First of all, where do we think the committee who picked this bracket messed up the most, Kyle? All
right, turn up the volume. I need your full attention, everybody out there listening, because I'm about to go off here. I'm bringing it. Arizona getting into the tournament is the biggest sham I can remember since I've been closely following the tournament, which is for a few years here. I could not have been more disappointed with the selection committee for putting Arizona in. It beats when Dayton didn't get in last year, and I was disappointed. I cannot believe this, and here are the facts, ladies and gentlemen. Arizona, 19-13 overall, 9-9 in a mediocre Pac-10. They finished 6th in the conference. So not only did they finish 6th in the conference, they decided, you know what, we're going to dip out early in our conference tournament. Their only neutral site game of the season. Let me dip out to Arizona State. No need to bolster our resume whatsoever. So they're 0-1 neutral site games. Now, the biggest problem, like we said, the tournament committee likes to pretend they love road wins, okay? Arizona, 2-9 on the road this season in all their games. 2-9. Their only two wins came against Oregon and Oregon State, okay? Unbelievable. That's their road record. Their road losses include Texas A&M in non-conference, not a tournament team. UNLV in non-conference, not a tournament team. They lost to UAB at home early in the season, not a tournament team, a CUSA team even. And they lost to, various Pac-10 schools throughout the season. Stanford on the road, for instance, another terrible Pac-10 school. The reason that they got put in, and it's something that I think the committee's done a much better job in recent years, and they took a huge step back right here, they put them in because they're Arizona. They've been there 25 times in a row. We're going to put them in again. They've proven they can win in past years, but it's not the same team, and it's just not fair. They put them in because they have Jordan Hill, who gets 18 points and 11 rebounds, and he's going to be a lottery pick in this year's draft. They put him in because they have Chase Budinger, who averages 18.6 rebounds, 3 assists, and he might be a lottery pick in this year's draft. They put him in because they have Nick Wise, who scores 15 points and gets 4 assists a game. They have sex appeal. They're a team that's always there. They have big-time players, and it's not fair because they didn't earn it, and they have a terrible body of work over the course of the season.
I'm fully convinced.
I don't actually disagree with the points Kyle's making, but in the mood to play a little bit of devil's advocate, the committee's decision, if they had to back them up, if I'm playing the role of the selection committee, it would probably be that they have big wins. Kansas, if I remember right.
Their two big wins out of conference are Kansas and Gonzaga. I'm big on Gonzaga. I actually think that is a very good win. I like Gonzaga. I think they're a very good team. Kansas, I'm not big on at all. I think they're overrated. I think they're another team that's kind of riding the wave of teams past when they're not the same team. They're very young. But even so, those two wins, both at home also, let's keep in mind. And those are teams that – Gonzaga's on the West Coast. Kansas had to travel a little bit for that game. But, I mean, those two games, I don't know what your guys' opinion is. They don't offset all those losses that we just talked about, I don't think.
Well, I think those are actually decent wins, but I agree they don't offset the horrible losses. My biggest problem with Arizona is they were 5-6 to end the year. They have absolutely they stumbled into the tournament. They played horrible against Arizona State the other night. They have no momentum at all. I was going back to I think teams with momentum should get in. I think Arizona is the complete opposite of that. So that was a big factor.
Great point.
All right, so Defer, what do you think the committee messed up the most?
What are you burning Arizona?
I'm not nearly as outraged about anything as Kyle was. The team that I kind of thought should have got in was Auburn. I know Kyle will make an argument for a certain West Coast Conference team that's still not named, but Auburn won 9 of their last 10 games before they lost to Tennessee the other night in the SEC tournament. They had a ton of momentum. How's his name? Kervonte Barber is a great big man.
Kervonte Barber.
Kervonte Barber. There you go. I saw him play live, but
twice.
He's a really good big man. I think they could have made some noise in the tournament. They could have won a game or two. So I was kind of disappointed to see them not in. But I'm not outraged by it by any means. They're definitely a bubble team.
Bill seems outraged by your point.
You should never be outraged that Auburn didn't make this tournament.
I'm not actually.
I sat next to you. That's good. You should be.
I said I was
you shouldn't even be mildly disappointed. You should be happy that Auburn didn't make it, because that's one less bad team that's not an intern pad team. Okay, we watched Auburn play live.
Not very good.
They went 10-6 in the SEC, which we've determined doesn't mean much because the SEC was garbage. Should have been a two-bid league, but Mississippi State got hot. That's fine.
I disagree. We'll get into that later. But.
Well, there's no way the SEC was only a two-bid league, but. I mean, kind of
unbelievable. Okay, Mississippi State does not win today. They get two bids, LSU and Tennessee.
I couldn't disagree with more. There's Mike Schley, the commissioner of the SEC, is also the chairman of the NCAA tournament committee. There is no way he was going to allow only two schools to get in.
Let me drop some knowledge. All right, here's what I got for you guys. This is going to be broad, but stay with me. The SEC. All throughout the season, I thought they'd get 4 or 5 just because they're a major conference at the least. But they really kind of screwed themselves, and I'm going to get into why right here. Their collective conference RPI, by far the worst of the major conferences. And the reason is, you know, people here have been frustrated in Gainesville because UF doesn't schedule anyone in their non-conference for the most part. This year they scheduled, from the major conferences, Washington, Syracuse, NC State. That's it. Only those three schools that are going to help your RPI numbers, that are going to build, that are going to give you a chance to log quality wins. They went 1-2 in those games. But the problem that I noticed, and I didn't realize this until I was scrolling through the teams the other night, is that this is a league-wide epidemic. Only Tennessee and Kentucky, to an extent, are scheduling non-conference games. You look at Tennessee. Now, this should explain everything to everyone, okay? Their non-conference schedules against good teams or teams in major conferences, Georgetown, twice against Gonzaga, Temple, who's a tournament team, Marquette, Kansas, and Memphis, okay? In those games, those 7 games, they went 2-5. They weren't even that impressive in those games. 2-5, that's not impressive, right? But they were a lock heading into the SEC tournament, having only won as many games as Florida and Auburn in conference, okay? So the same thing in conference as Florida, as Auburn and South Carolina in conference. But because they went out, they took the initiative, they scheduled these teams, they were a lock heading in. They weren't even on the bubble. They were a lock heading in because they did this. And as a conference, you look around the league, Arkansas only scheduled 2 games against big teams, Oklahoma and Texas. They won both, by the way, and then completely fell off the train. But still, they're not helping out the conference RPI. Georgia, only 2 teams, Illinois, Virginia Tech. Ole Miss, 2 teams, West Virginia, Louisville. Vandy, 3 teams, Illinois, Georgia Tech, and UMass, if we're even going to count them. Auburn, Virginia, Dayton, Xavier, 3 teams. South Carolina, 2 teams. Clemson, Baylor. You just look around the conference, and it is terrible. And so as a result, they made their conference wins worthless. Because their conference RPI was so low, it was perceived as such a bad conference, even though if you had a Big Ten SEC tournament matchup tomorrow, I think it goes about split, maybe. I don't know, but it would be fairly close. And the Big Ten got 7 teams in. But they made their conference wins depreciate to worth nothing. And that's why they were – I happen to agree with Phil on this. Had Mississippi State not won, they would have been a two-bid league. It's sad. It's amazing to think that it got to that point. They should have been 3 or 4, but I think they would have been 2.
All right, Phil, do you have anything there where you think the committee messed up the most? Are you burning on anything?
I'm not sure I'm burning as much on anything as Kyle over there. I'm feeling the heat. Although he makes a lot of good points.
To disagree with Deifer.
Yeah, well, Deifer was just so wrong about Auburn, it blows my mind.
He was so wrong about Auburn. Auburn was on
the last 4.
He was one of the last 4 teams out there.
It's absurd.
All right.
I think it's a legitimate discussion. Auburn could have gotten
it. Instant lose in the first round.
Auburn's as good as any team
to
get in.
They could lose to Morehead State, Auburn. But
even address it. We're fine. Go ahead, Phil.
You're wrong, but okay.
I don't have any pressing concerns. Obviously, I have the same thing about St. Mary's, I think we should got in. We're going to start going down.
Jumping the gun. The West Coast Conference team shall not be named. We're going to get into St. Mary's in a second here. All
right. Arizona possibly should not have made it in. Let's roll.
Okay. All right. I'll agree with that so we can move on to something. Where do we think the committee was most right? I'll start this off. I think the all four number one seeds and all four number two seeds are exactly right. And, I mean, I think that's completely right, and it's rare that I believe that. So let's move along here. Kyle, what do you think?
One more thing relating to Arizona that I'm burning on. And I know we haven't gotten into the bracket yet, but – and okay, I won't get into their matchup too much, but they got the most – they ended up with a 12 seed and got the most favorable 12 seed matchup there is. They're playing the worst 5 seed by all accounts. We'll get into that when we get into the matchups. I'm sorry I had to get that in there. I agree with Adam completely. The one seeds I was most happy about because – I was so concerned from all the talk and from Hubert Davis's lobbying on ESPN that the committee was going to get it wrong and that Memphis was going to get a one seed. I dreaded it. Memphis plays in the Conference USA. They've gone 3 years without losing in Conference USA. Don't get it confused. It's because it's a one-bid league and it's terrible. You have Memphis, who's recruiting McDonald's All-Americans every year, going against teams who are hoping they can get a two-star with a high ceiling that might pan out to be a starter. That's the recruiting difference in that conference, and it's shameful. And in their non-conference, they scheduled Syracuse, Georgetown, and Xavier. They all lost to them. And their big wins out of conference, UMass, Cincinnati, Tennessee, two of those teams not even in the tournament. Thank God they didn't get a one seed. Good job, selection committee. I busted your balls before, but I'll give you a pat on the back for that.
Yeah, I agree with Kyle. The one and two seeds are like absolutely the best thing they got
right. And Louisville getting the number one overall, got that right. Absolutely. Best conference, regular season winners, tournament winners, got that right.
I know Kyle was a little concerned about Memphis. I was concerned that Michigan State might get a one seed. I think the Big Ten's definitely not as good as people think it is. They got seven teams, but I don't think it necessarily warranted seven teams, so I'm glad they're a two and not a one.
Yeah, I will say, like, I actually, maybe I'm a little anti-Michigan State. I was trying to find a way to drop the Spartans down to the three line. Now, it's true they should be on the two line. If you look at the three line, I couldn't bump anyone up. I love Syracuse. Yeah. I can't put them on the two line. I can't do it. Maybe Mike differs.
I'll argue for Syracuse all day. I think they're easily the best three seed. They're definitely as good as any of the two seed.
You're wrong. You're wrong here. You're gullible. You're going off of the magic that we just saw in the Garden. The 6 overtime game. You're drinking the Kool-Aid. You're drinking the Johnny Flynn Kool-Aid. And you're coming off a high. You got high. You shot up with Syracuse. It was good times for all. But, like, come on, man. They didn't finish in the top, you know. They finished 4th in the conference? Is that right? 5th?
I thought 5th because they didn't get a double bye.
5th in the conference. The 5th in their own conference, and you're giving them a 3 seed? Come on. Come on.
Right, 5th in the Big East, it might as well have been like 1st or 2nd in any other conference.
Are you arguing that they should have moved down a line? Are you saying they should have
moved
down a
line? No. I'm okay with them being a 3. Maybe they could have moved down a line. I think they played their way into a 3 with their great showing in the tournament. I'm okay with that, but you can't bump them to a 2. There's no way.
If there's one thing that I think I have a slight issue with, I think Florida State is a little better than a 5. I don't know how people agree with me. I think I like Wake Forest above them. Okay. Washington, because they won the Pac-10, I guess.
Regular season Pac-10. USC
regular season Pac-10. But, I mean, Florida State, especially coming on strong, they come all the way through. They beat UNC.
Yeah.
They're in the tournament championship.
Yeah. I agree with Phil. Beating UNC is absolutely huge. They proved they can beat anyone.
Let's not forget, they were a Ty Lawson miracle shot from taking them to overtime, potentially beating them again. They have the best wins. They got great wins, FSU. They had a great tournament showing. They got all the way to the finals. They are an excellent team. Tony Douglas is an excellent player. Mm-hmm. And the 4 seed that I would bump, I actually do like the 4 seeds for the most part. The 4 seed I would bump is in their side of the bracket.
Xavier.
I would put Xavier behind them. They couldn't get to the conference finals in the A-10 or in the finals of the tournament in the Atlantic 10. I would bump them, the team in their own conference. And they probably went, you know, Xavier's the worst 4 seed, so we'll put in the best 5 seed.
Yeah.
But I would have reversed those.
Yeah, and Xavier's not the Xavier teams of the year just past, last couple of years. Drew Lavender's not there anymore. So I don't think Xavier's all that great. But
right. I agree.
I mean, the A-10 no longer has the great St. Joe's, so it's down a couple notches.
Nah, A-10's a decent conference, I think. But whatever, let's move on here.
All right, yeah, I was going to say, let's move on. Who do we think is the biggest Final Four lock? Who is absolutely in your opinion?
I really hate to do this because it seems really lame and the number one overall. But, like, I sat through the brackets. I was like, who do I think has the easiest road? Who would they might have to play to get to Detroit? And I kept coming back to Louisville.
I completely agree. Louisville, I think they have the easiest road to get there, too, so Louisville's a lock.
I would actually agree with Louisville. Kyle, you're going to disagree here.
Yeah,
so.
You guys know I'm not going to make it easy. All right, if Ty Lawson plays for UNC, and he is remotely healthy. You know, I'm going with he's walking without a limp, so he's playing, and he's not a detriment. He's at least 80% of what he was. I say UNC's a lock. I've stuck with them since the preseason. I can't jump off the bandwagon now. I think they're the best team in America. I'm going with UNC. If Ty Lawson is not able to play, I'm going to give you another one, UConn. I think UConn has played pretty well down the stretch here. Furthermore, I just don't see anyone in their bracket, their side of the bracket, that I really see knocking them off. I don't love Purdue. I don't love Washington. Missouri is a cool team. I don't know what they can do. I don't think they have anyone big enough to match up with the beat down low and at least put a body on him to box him out. And you know my thoughts on Memphis. So I just think UConn maybe has the easiest road, but I'm going with UNC with a healthy Ty Lawson or UConn.
All right, well, I'm going to disagree with you about UNC. With or without Ty Lawson, I think they play in the toughest region.
Right.
Gonzaga's there, Syracuse is there, Arizona State's a team that can do some stuff. So I think regardless of if Lawson plays, they have to play the best teams. That's a dead trend.
Absolutely true. I think they do have the toughest region. That's a fair point. They have a couple different teams that could potentially knock them out. I just think UNC
Oklahoma.
I just think UNC matches up well with those teams that are good. I think they're a good matchup with Gonzaga and a good matchup with Oklahoma. They're a good matchup for Syracuse. I think UNC will still be okay there.
To defend my earlier point about Louisville. It could just go back to my anti-Michigan State. I think the Midwest path for Louisville, I think Siena it could be a tough second-round matchup, but I like the style of play Louisville plays. I think they're going to get through that. But my point for a toughest bracket would be the East, to slightly segue there. While I don't like Duke as a two, because who can like Duke in March? I just think with Florida State and UCLA, if they get out of VCU, and Villanova as a three, I think the East can be tough, even though it's in Boston, which is a little scary.
I just want to quickly revisit a conversation Kyle and I had a couple months ago at the start of the basketball season. Kyle told me that he would give me the field against UNC to win the title. So are you still feeling good about that?
No, because of Ty Lawson. If Ty Lawson was healthy, we'd have a talk about it. I'd probably put some manhood on the line against that. But I can't do it now. I just felt UNC was loaded coming into the season. I still feel that way. And also, let's not forget, who went down for them?
Zoe.
Come on. Big time player that went down for them.
Oh, is it
Ginyard?
Ginyard, thank you. Ginyard's down for them. So that's another thing that's kind of factoring into my opinion of them at this point. And a quick note on the Louisville path. I do think they have a fairly easy path, mostly because I don't like Michigan State and Kansas, which are the 2 and 3 seeds. Mm-hmm. I think perhaps the two, if you're combining 2 and 3 seeds, those are the weakest combined.
Yeah.
And I do like Wake. But the thing with Louisville, Louisville's been playing great, and I can't knock them. But I've seen them. We see Big East games on TV all the time. I think Earl Clark, who's their best player, maybe has had a tendency to disappear in some games. Terrence Williams, Terrence Williams, I compare to Dwayne Wade. To me, it's the same player. Terrence Williams is absolutely amazing. He's all kinds of athletic. He rebounds the ball. He passes the ball. So Terrence Williams, hopefully he gets hot. Somebody else plays with him. But if Earl Clark disappears. Samardo Samuels is their big man, freshman, you know, all McDonald's All-American, all everything. He's averaging, 12 points a game or so. He's been a good scorer for them. He's only getting 5.5 rebounds as their big man. Terrence Williams gets 3 more rebounds than him, and he's 5 inches shorter. So Samardo Samuels, I feel like he's got a lot of work to do. And if Earl Clark disappears, then it's going to be all T-Will. I don't know if he can get it done. Jerry Smith and Edgar Sosa have to step up.
I do like Louisville, and I think they're – I don't know the makeup of their team, but I think they're kind of veteran-based, and I like their pressing style.
They've been there before. It's
exactly.
Fair point.
I would worry about Wake Forest coming out of their potential matchup, the 1-4. My problem with Wake Forest is they're wildly inconsistent in my mind. There were earlier in the season, I was like, Jeff, what's his last name?
Jeff Teague.
I was like, oh, my God, Wake Forest is awesome.
Right.
They
Jeff Teague's best player in America.
I was like, oh, my God, I'm so high on the Demon Deacons.
Right.
And then they just trail off. Which Wake Forest team is going to show up today?
According to Doug Gottlieb, who I respect immensely as an analyst, actually, he says Wake's problem is they play terrible against the zone. I don't know enough. I haven't seen them against certain defenses. I haven't watched them enough. He says the zone gives them fits. And according to Doug Gottlieb, Arizona plays only a zone pretty much because they're lazy. I don't know. I'm taking a shot at Arizona. But they play only a zone, and they would meet in the second round if Arizona was to upset Utah. So Doug Gottlieb, actually, he was saying, I wouldn't have had Arizona in. Now I have them in the Sweet 16 just because of matchups. And if that's the case, Louisville will beat Arizona by 30. Like, it will be a beatdown. So...
All right, well, I want to defend Kansas for a second. Kansas is a team I saw play in person earlier this year, and everyone's hating on right now. But they have Sherron Collins back, point guard for the team that won the title last year. They have Cole Aldridge, the big man. He's this really good big man. I think they're better than you think they are.
They're way too young. They're too young for the tournament. You need experience to win the tournament, and they're way too young. They have too many freshmen that play integral roles. Cole Aldridge, if he gets matched up with a premier big man, he's a stiff. Come on. Let's be honest
up,
here.
Up until Aldridge. Like a week ago, people were talking about Kansas as a two-seed.
Yeah, and wrongfully so. I know.
Count it right here. North Dakota State over Kansas. First round. 14-3.
Are you being serious?
I'm being serious.
Hold on, we'll get
you're
into some more.
I'm being serious. Serious. All
right. We'll get into some more of the pick stuff later, but
okay,
I think we're ready to move
let's
on
go
here. We've got
question.
A couple more questions mm-hmm. here. Let's go. Phil kind of segued into this. The biggest first round upset in 11 versus 6 or more, you know, a 12-5 or something like that. Let's go around here.
Well,
Kyle.
The one we want to pick is the one we're most confident about.
Yeah,
so we're giving you guys out there, if you want to roll with what Kyle Maestri, Mike DiFerdino, Phil Kegler, and Adam Berry are picking, this is what we're going with. All right, I am huge on Dayton, almost to a fault. I love Dayton so much. Chris Wright, huge player, big-time player for Dayton. They play all kinds of defense, which I'm big on at this time of year. You have to play defense to win. They do that even though they're a small conference team. And they draw West Virginia in the first round, who I actually think is a decent matchup for them because West Virginia doesn't have a huge front court that like a lot of these big conference schools do that's going to just pound the ball inside and out-rebound them. They have a lot of good guard play with Ruoff and you know those type players. So I think Dayton actually matches up fairly well with them. I think Dayton's hungry. I think they're a team that got snubbed a little bit last year. And I'm going to go with Dayton 11-6. Bet your money on it.
All right, who you got, Deefer?
All right, you heard it here first. UCLA, they're a 6-seeded playing VCU. UCLA will beat VCU, absolutely. They still have Josh Schiff. They still have Nick Collison. They've got good players. They've been to the last couple Final Fours. They have veteran guards on that team. They're going to carry them easily into the second week.
That's not an upset.
The deeper not understand the question. Man. We want your biggest lock for
an
upset.
First round, 11-6 or more.
Who do you got? 11,
so what
11
to
16 or
higher? You have winning.
Okay, all right, hold on.
All right,
no,
so
let's go
to
the
okay,
I screwed up.
All right, basketball writer, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. The Bison, I'm going to save for a little bit of a long shot, but
yeah,
if you want
okay,
a sure thing
that.
Here, I've been toying with this. I have a couple. I won't give you them all because I'm going to beat you with some of these picks. I'll go with the surefire, the Phil Kegler, Phil on the Hill, absolutely guaranteed.
Mr. Brackett.
Mr. Brackett, put this one money on it. Utah State over Marquette. I think Marquette's been sliding with Dominique James out. They're a team sliding. Now, they're kind of on the cusp. They can either right the ship, they've got a couple days off, they can say, we're going to band together and play better, or they're not going to, and Utah State will knock them off, because they're a pretty legit team.
Here's the thing. I do like Utah State. If you look at these 11 seeds, they loaded the best mid-major teams into these 11 seeds. I think Temple versus Arizona in the South region, 11-6, is another good pick that you might do well with. But Utah State, the thing, I think they're just – Marquette's a horrible matchup for them. Marquette has all these super athletic wing players. You got Jarrell McNeil. You got Wesley Matthews. You got what's their big man who steps out and shoots the three so well? Lazar Edwards. I can't come up with his name right now, but you guys out there know who. Haywood. Lazar Haywood. Woo! All right. So you got him who can step out. And Utah State's best player, the conference player of the year in that conference, is a guy named Robert Wilkinson, I believe. Last name, certainly Wilkinson. I can't quite remember his first name right now. He's a big, hulking, like 26-year-old white guy who plays for them. They showed a stat on SportsCenter the other day. He's older than like 206 NBA players, which I thought was cool. But I just don't feel like they have the athleticism to run up and down the court with these guys. But Utah State plays a different style. And it's interesting when you get two teams together who play different styles. Who's going to make the other team play their style? So if Utah State can do that, then they might have a chance. But I think Jarrell McNeil is just too good.
Right. I think that actually Kyle lays it out perfectly. Which style wins? Yeah. I think if they run up and down the floor, Marquette, even without Dominic James, can win in their first round. But I think if you can slow it down, I think the loss of James, because I was very big on Marquette a couple weeks ago. I thought if they keep James, like, I feel bad for him, a senior. It's really a terrible injury. I think they would have gone far with him. Mm-hmm. But without them, they're my trendy 11 over 6.
I agree. I don't think he was their best player. He might not even be their second best player, but he was their leader.
Important piece.
They looked to him to set the tone. He was a point guard, and he was kind of the heart of that team.
Yeah, he'd been there. He's hit big shots kind of in clutch situations too. Defree, come up with anything over there?
All right, well, I clearly screwed up big time before. Indefensible, I can't be...
We'll let you back in.
Right, okay.
Redeem yourself.
I have to be analyzing the bracket here a little bit. I have two games I'm interested in. The first one is Temple and Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona State. Mm-hmm. Christmas is a great player. I think he's good enough to maybe beat Arizona State and get into the next round.
Christmas in March.
Yeah.
James Harden, baby.
Wow.
Just say no.
I'll
James Harden
too,
no.
But...
Yeah,
right.
James Harden's a great player. All right,
the
anyway.
Second game... I'm going to go over to the other side of the bracket, Washington and Mississippi State. I think Mississippi State is a team we saw this weekend. I know Phil hates Mississippi State. Jarvis Bernardo is a big, rangy, big man. I think I saw John Brockman play earlier this year. He's big, but he's very slow. He's not that athletic. I think Bernardo can take advantage of that matchup and give them a chance to win.
That's an excellent point, Deep. Mm-hmm. See, this is why you come to us for your bracket knowledge. Deep for looking at a great matchup there. Brockman, clearly Washington's leader, best player, scores 20 points a game for them in the paint. And Varnado plays great defense. He is a great paint defender. He protects the rim.
Five blocks per game.
Brockman's probably got him by 50 pounds is the only thing. So you don't. If Varnado can shut him down a little bit, though, he's definitely going to give Mississippi State a chance.
It's another one of those things that's all about who controls the pace of the game. And sometimes, it's all about coaching when you get into these lower-seeded matchups. Who's going to be able to come up with a better game plan to control the game as it goes on?
Yeah, I will say, Mississippi State is pretty formidable for a 13 seed. I will give them that. I wasn't crazy about them during the tournament. I didn't, because honestly, I didn't think they'd go as far as they did.
Mm-hmm.
So they've already proved me wrong. Like, they don't have to do it again in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked that they beat LSU and Tennessee. That was a surprise to me.
And
so now I buy into them a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I would have to sit down and look at Washington more.
And Mike DiFerdinando, I tore him apart, but he's nothing if not consistent. What did he tell you his big thing was? Hot teams coming into the tournament. Who'd he pick? Temple. They went out and won the A-10 tournament. Mississippi State, they went out and won the SEC tournament.
Going back to Mississippi State for a second. Bernardo proved that he can play against a good big man. He played against Tennessee, beat Tyler Smith, and he played against the LSU and Tasman Mitchell, two really quality big men. So I think that's the team to look at.
I would argue a little bit on Tasman Mitchell being that quality of big man.
And they're also a little undersized. Brockman's a big man in the middle, in every sense of the word. So.
All right, now I'm going to round this out since you guys have already picked basically every upset I would have predicted.
Take us home, Adam.
I'm going to say Temple over Arizona State as well. It's like you said, a team coming in hot, somebody who can control the pace of the game. So I'm going to... Did I agree with you accidentally?
No. It's okay. Don't you worry. But a little extra action for people trying to beat Mr. Brackett.
Yeah.
We didn't mention a single 12-5. I know that's almost like a prerequisite.
Yeah.
So maybe we can go around and name your best 12-5. Kyle's going to say Arizona.
Okay.
Go. I don't want to steal your thunder. Go.
I got two 12-5 upsets.
Okay.
You guys know out there, you're informed. I know, informed listeners. 12-5s happen every year, at least one. You got to pick them to stay in this. Arizona tore them a new one in the previous section of this podcast, but I'm going with them. I think that they lucked out in drawing Utah. By lucked out, I mean the committee helped them out because they gave them Utah as the 5 seed. They have to match up with other 5 seeds, Florida State, Illinois, and Purdue. I'm not too hot on Illinois, but still I think they're better than Utah. So Arizona, I think, is going to knock off Utah. I mean, just because they win a game, that doesn't mean they deserve to be there, but I think they do that. And then the other one, I'll keep this brief. I have no analysis for you, but Western Kentucky over Illinois, just because Western Kentucky's got some guys on there who have been there before. Illinois, I'm not too hot on.
Yeah, I want to follow up on that second one there. I do like the Hilltoppers.
Hilltoppers,
right. No Ty Rogers this year, a little sad. And their coach, Darren Horns, down at South Carolina, not dancing this year.
Nah.
But the one thing about that matchup especially is Illinois, I don't have the name off the top of his head, their point guard for
Frazier.
The final lit nine
Frazier,
is out
yeah.
injured. That could be a big deal for
Frazier had some kind of
fractured
hand injury.
Fractured his hand.
That's on with the cat.
I think he's out this week.
Yeah, yeah. No, I believe you're correct, and that could definitely affect them.
And Big Red, one of the great mascots in all of college sports.
Yeah, absolutely.
I will say the 12-5 that would shock me the most. Like, this will be like, I would put a whole bunch of money. If Wisconsin in any way beat FSU, right, I'd be shocked.
I agree.
No way that happens.
Completely agree. I think Northern Iowa is a decent team that plays in a decent conference for a little school. But Purdue, I think, they just won the Big Ten tournament. They're a hot team. I agree. The one I would not pick, Wisconsin, Florida State.
All right, I'm going to agree with that. I think Arizona and, like you said, that's the biggest chance for a 12-5. But let's move into something a little different, the biggest long shot. It sort of ties into what we were just talking about, the long shot, a 13-14-15. Nobody's going to pick a 16 seed, as much as I would love to pick my Chattanooga Mocs to upset UConn, I believe it is. So, Phil, you got the first pick.
As I said, I went into this a little bit earlier. I'm calling it 14 seed in the Midwest. Pencil it in. The North Dakota State Bison. I believe they're dancing their first year of eligibility, if I'm not mistaken, over Kansas, a Kansas team that obviously won the title last year, lost a lot of their people back this year. They learned, they got older in the Big 12, but I think the Bison, a miracle, a dream victory.
And a little something on North Dakota State. This is their first year they've ever been eligible for not only postseason play in Division I, but the NCAA tournament. They win their conference and they're in the tournament, so... Way to go, North Dakota
State. That's what the NCAA tournament's all about, baby. Put him in the second round.
All right, so Defer, are you agreeing with that? Is the most likely?
No.
Well, he already gave you a Mississippi State who fits that requirement.
Yeah. So
they're in Indianapolis too. I didn't even point that out. North Dakota State playing Indianapolis.
You have another one, Defer, somehow.
I mean, I'm not really sold on Xavier, so I don't really know much about Portland State, but I could see Xavier maybe stumbling.
Mm-hmm. All right, Kyle,
Big Sky. All right. I think Mississippi State probably the best chance of an upset for 13 and lower. But I'm going to give you two other teams who are one's a 13, one's a 14, who I really like. And had they drawn other opponents, I probably would have picked. But they drew two, in my opinion, tough opponents. Those two teams are Cleveland State in the Midwest, Indianapolis bracket. They drew Wake Forest. I think Cleveland State is a very legitimate team. I like them a lot. They've had wins in the last 2 years over pretty tough competition. They beat Florida State out of conference 1 year. And it's unfortunate they drew Wake Forest. I don't think they'll win. But just based on the fact that I think they're a good team, who knows what can happen. And the other one is American, who returns to the tournament as a 14 seed in the East bracket for the second straight year. I like the fact they have consistency. They have some players coming back that have made the tournament 2 years in a row. I think they're a pretty legitimate team, but they drew Villanova, which I'm actually very big on Villanova. I think they're good, so I don't think they can win that game. But they, in my opinion, may be the best team, one of the best teams that are 13 or lower.
I'll bounce a little bit off that. I'm not going to claim to have too much knowledge about American. I will say I am also big on Villanova, so that one I would kind of write off. But Kyle raises a great point about Cleveland State. When I was thinking about them before the brackets came out, I was looking at them as a possible sleeper. And keep it in mind, because Wake Forest can kind of do anything on any given day. But yeah, Cleveland State, it's a decent pick. They beat Syracuse. It was on a last-second shot, so I don't value that. I value Cleveland State hanging close, though. If Cleveland State takes anyone other than Wake Forest...
Mississippi State, the Bulldogs.
I was going to say I would absolutely agree with Mississippi State is the most likely. I don't have any of that happening, but I would say if one were to happen, that's
same,
the one.
Yeah, same. Let's be clear on that. I don't have any of those, but those are the most likely if I was going to get crazy.
Oh, Phil, I thought you guaranteed
I
check out
I haven't penciled in my bracket yet.
You can't change that now that you've
been
guaranteed.
That is,
okay, all right.
Absolutely. But Michigan State, Robert Morris. Give a little love to the
there
small
has to
conferences.
Be a 15
you really
somewhere,
hate Michigan
right?
State.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Robert Morris got no shot. Pick Michigan State. I'll eat those words later.
Going back to Villanova, how long has Scotty Reynolds been at Villanova? Like
10,
6
20 years?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyway.
He's a career Villanova player.
All right, so let's move on here. Who do we think is an Elite Eight sleeper? Somebody in the Elite, somebody who we think can get into the Elite Eight. Maybe not such a common pick. Let's go around the room here. Kyle, you have several from what I understand.
I'm wrong about everything, so let me preface with that.
Because you're going to steal all of ours.
All right, fair enough. So the one I'm going to go with is my Dayton Flyers, then. I'm really big on Dayton, and I feel like the teams that they drew to get to the Elite Eight are somewhat beatable, teams I'm not too high on. So let's say they get past West Virginia. I gave you them as my most likely first-round upset. They'd be looking at North Dakota State, if you listen to Phil. I'm going to go with Kansas, though, in the second round. But, however, like Phil, I'm not high on Kansas, and I think Dayton could take them out, although I think the big stiff Cole Aldridge would give them a little bit of trouble because Dayton's a little undersized. But they got experienced guard play, and that'll take you far in this tournament. And then the next round, they would play Michigan State, if it goes chalk, who none of us seem to be too high on. My currently would have them playing USC because I think USC is a hot team, a talented team that would make it that far. But then again, you know, it's how far can a 10 seed go? You would get a 10-11 matchup right there, and I think Dayton would have a puncher's chance in that matchup. So I'm going with Dayton. Disclaimer, I'm completely irrational about Dayton. So go ahead, Deifer.
All right, well, I've got a couple. As I mistakenly said before, I'm really high on UCLA.
Give Udo for right now so you don't steal. Go.
All right, so yeah, UCLA, I think they're a really good team. I think they definitely make it to the Elite Eight. I think they're going to beat Duke. I love Pitt, but I wouldn't be completely shocked if they somehow beat Pitt and slipped into the Final Four. I also am really big on Syracuse. I think Syracuse will beat Oklahoma, and I have it on the Elite Eight.
Three seeds do not qualify as sleepers, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, well, I'm going to shortly comment on the two before I get going here. It's funny because I would agree almost completely with Kyle that Dayton will make the Elite Eight if they beat West Virginia. Like, I don't mean that to be ridiculous. If I beat West Virginia, I have them in the Elite Eight, but I haven't decided that game yet. Over here with Deifer, picked UCLA. Well, see, that's simply incorrect because VCU is going to the Elite Eight. Anthony Grant is going to say, hey, Billy Donovan, I'm in the Elite Eight and you're in the NIT Elite Eight. So see ya. VCU Elite Eight in the East.
Yeah, when Phil said don't steal ours, VCU is my other one that I have as potentially going there. And it's just poetic. Look at what has to happen. They win in the first round. They slip by Villanova. They're in the Sweet 16. Everybody's feeling good. Who do they meet up with? The Duke Blue Devils. Duke Blue Devils, nightmares about Eric Maynard. They still have nightmares about Eric Maynard beating them at the buzzer. You get VCU over Duke part two. The Cameron Crazies are crushed. Eric Maynard cements his legacy as a great college player. And let's not forget about Larry Sanders, their great big man, who actually won player of their conference tournament.
I think it's worthy to point out also in the first round matchup, especially, UCLA has to come all the way to the East Coast. Mm-hmm. They've got to come play in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Not that they won't really get adjusted. It is four or five days. But, you know, that can only help VCU.
Yeah, and they always say that West Coast teams struggle to travel East Coast. Yep. They say East to West, not too bad. West to East, a little bit. Again, like, that just could be a factor. I don't think Phil's saying, you know.
No, it's not a huge thing. It just adds in a little bit.
It's not like UCLA is some scrub team that has never done this before. I mean, they've been in the last couple of Final Fours.
Not with these players, though.
With some of these players.
With Collison and Shit. Okay.
Well, guard play. Those are their two guards. And Drew Holiday is a great point guard, too. A freshman.
He's a freshman, yeah.
But he's a good freshman.
VCU,
I like VCU. I like Anthony Grant. I like Eric Maynard. But I don't think they're deep enough. I don't think they can beat VCU. All
right. VCU is actually who I was going to go with in that section. So thanks once again.
You're the one drinking the Kool-Aid.
Appreciate it. I mean, Deifer could be right here. VCU's had some bad losses, but we're going with sleeper
picks. But UCLA has also struggled in my mind. They got upset 100 times.
I have to point out.
Don't drop this. Don't do it. Pick another team. I'll give you another team they lost to. Yeah, don't do this.
VCU has maybe the worst loss of any team in this tournament.
They lost
to the Delaware Blue Hens.
Oh, okay, good.
Damn!
Yeah. All right, Delaware Blue Hens. A terrible loss. I can't say I followed VCU's season religiously. I missed that game on ESPN 360 or wherever it may have been. But
you're making my point for me.
I can't defend that VCU loss.
Let me just say, we're all the big dance now. Everybody's 0-0. Fresh slate. First team to win six games.
Just purple and gold. Those little numbers on the right and left sides.
Don't even look at
the bracket. Scratch them out.
Yeah.
Scratch them out.
Break the bracket without them.
Let's throw anytime BCU and UCLA are playing, throw the seeds out, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, to wrap that up, I might say I don't have this in my bracket or anything, but we mentioned Florida State a little bit earlier. I would consider a 5 seed getting into the Elite Eight kind of a big upset. Maybe they get hot. Maybe they stay hot. Maybe they beat Pitt. I'm just saying.
Pitt's been known to choke in a tournament. So
I had them in the Final Four last year. So, yes.
I'll attest to that.
Not well. Not well.
I think Pitt's going to fit through their tournament trouble. That's the only thing. If I have Florida State not facing Pitt, if they're in, you know, if they have to face UConn or UNC, maybe in the Elite Eight. But I don't like them beating Pitt if they get there.
Yeah, FSU I think is a really, really solid team. It's borderline sleeperish at the 5 seed, but Adam, good team. I like that.
All right, let's move on. Looking at the bracket, who do we think was the biggest snub? Just one team each here.
That should have gotten in.
That should have been in, absolutely.
Okay, without question, it's time to bust it out. We delayed it to this point. St. Mary's Gales. St. Mary's Gales should have gotten in. Their numbers are as follows. They're 10-4 in the West Coast Conference, 26-6 overall. Now, somebody that you might know on that team, Patty Mills, their superstar point guard, played in the Olympics, played great against for Australia, his native country, and the American NBA players and other various NBA players who were playing for other countries came back and raved about this guy. Patty Mills is their leading scorer in the Olympics, and they just said how NBA ready this kid is, how great he is. And he's been on the map the last 2 years here. I'd say most people in America maybe have learned that name by now, but he went down with an injury. That's the only reason they were on the bubble to start with. Three of their losses came to Gonzaga. He got injured in their first matchup with Gonzaga. By the way, I think Gonzaga is a very good team. So if they had six losses and three of them came to the same team, you know, they just got a bad matchup maybe, let's say. But in that first game, they were well on their way to beating Gonzaga. And Patty Mills, you know, hurt his hand, had to be sit out for weeks. He missed the next matchup with Gonzaga, so maybe that explains two out of the three. And then the final matchup was in the conference championship in the tournament. And or maybe it was a semifinals. Okay, semifinals of the conference tournament. And they lost again, but it was only a second game back. So they beat Providence and San Diego State on neutral sites. Those are some good wins for them. They beat Oregon, Southern Illinois, and Pacific on the road. Pacific went to their conference championship in their tournament. Oregon and SIU down this year, traditionally pretty good schools. And their bad losses, with Mills in their lineup, they're 20-2. So I think that's something that the committee should have said, look, this, if we're looking at the best teams, we're trying to put in the best 34 at-large teams, St. Mary's with a healthy Patty Mills, with a Patty Mills that can play, is one of those teams, and I think they missed that one.
All right, I just figure if I'm going to agree with what everybody else says, I'm just going to go ahead and say it right after you said it. So I completely agree, St. Mary's. And the thing to me, I don't have an NIT bracket in front of me. Weren't they like a 2 seed in the NIT anyway?
Which is
even worse.
Absolutely
I mean,
ridiculous.
They should be in the tournament and somehow they're a 2 seed.
Yeah, they couldn't even finagle a 2 seed. I think they were a 3 seed because who was the team that we were excited? Davidson or was Davidson a 3?
Davidson.
They were in the same bracket. You went
Davidson was a 6. Okay, so was it... What weren't the two of them? Were they in the same side of the NIT? Where was I getting?
They were the same half of the bracket.
I believe so.
Okay.
I know you were jubilant at the possibility of the Davidson at St. Mary's.
Yeah. So they had to have been able to match up. But yeah, regardless, yeah, they didn't even get a 1 seed.
Yeah.
So.
All right. And
selection committee devil's advocate because that's apparently my role today.
I
think
always defending the man.
That's what I'm doing here.
Future lawyer here.
Yeah.
Injury information do we think the selection committee had of Patty Mills? Because he came back, he played in the WCC tournament and went 5-for-28, so obviously he's a little brushed up.
Yeah, he performed poorly in his first 2 games back in that tournament, but you know, he was coming right off the injury. And credit Randy Bennett, their coach. He went out and did something I've never heard of, didn't even know was possible. He scheduled an extra game after their tournament was over against Eastern Washington. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but he went out and he apparently you can do that, but he went out and scheduled this game because he knew Patty Mills has to show something to the committee for us to get in, because that's our whole case, is that Patty Mills is healthy again. And he went out, he scored 19 points, he played a lot better. He wasn't dominant, but he scored 19 points, fairly efficient shooting ratio. They ended up winning by like 25 or something against Eastern Washington, overmatched team. But at least credit that coach, at least credit Bennett for going out and trying to give his team every chance they had, pulling a move that not many coaches would think to pull. And I think Patty Mills, we can at least say, is reasonably healthy after the performance that we've seen.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, if we're going to feel really bad for a team that didn't get in, it's definitely St. Mary's, because Patty Mills is likely leaving for the NBA after this year.
Yeah.
And who knows when St. Mary's will ever be in a position to make the tournament again, or at least, you know.
They recruit well out of Australia.
They do recruit well. All right,
so we all agree St. Mary's biggest snub. Who do we think is in that shouldn't be in?
Well, you know my opinion. Arizona, I'm just going to pass it to you guys because I've already won.
Bill, go ahead.
Arizona. I don't really have any big qualms here.
No big things. I'm not as adamantly against Arizona as the rest of you guys, I think. But
2-9 on the road.
2-9 on the road. Oregon State, their only road wins. Only wins away from home. They didn't win on neutral site.
I'm gonna defend Arizona for a second. Arizona did not have the best resume, and they come limping into the tournament, kind of pathetically. But I still think they're a good team with good players, and they are a team that could still make a run in the tournament. I would not be surprised at all if they got to the Sweet 16, and even after that, if they somehow pull off a miracle game against, like, you know, Louisville or whatever.
You guys heard the podcast. You guys heard when we started, we laid out the criteria. Arizona meets none of the criteria that we talked about coming into this. Why would you put them in? You're only putting them in because they have NBA quality players and because they're Arizona.
I agree. They probably shouldn't have got in, but I'm not so unbelievably outraged like you are. It's probably not the best thing, but it's, you know, it's what it is.
So you're cool with the field of 65 is what you're saying? You're right? You're okay? You can be. No, I'm not trying. I didn't mean to.
I have no major. I mean, I feel bad for St. Mary's. I think they would have been a cool team to see play. I think Patty Mills would have been good for the tournament.
Who do you take out? Is Arizona clearly your last team in now if you were putting St. Mary's in?
I mean, I guess so. You have to because of the way they finished the season. But
well, I think the clearest measure of this is if we're debating between St. Mary's and Arizona, is if St. Mary's with a healthy Patty Mills would beat Arizona 75 out of 100 times. I'm going with 75%.
I completely disagree with that. That's way closer to 50-50. I think Arizona still would win the most.
There's no way to measure that. I'd like to also point out that the committee does not take into account head-to-head. As we saw, Arizona got into the tournament last year when Arizona State took them out twice and probably should have been in front of them.
That was a shame.
But they don't count head-to-head. So Arizona just keeps finagling their way into the tournament. But I don't think that's necessarily the truest measure. The truest measure, they both played an entire schedule. St. Mary's was impressive. Arizona was pathetic. That's the truest measure.
All right, I absolutely
agree. But against what competition? Come on.
They lost against every competition. Yeah. You kidding me?
All right, I'll agree with you. If there's one team that I would take out, it's Arizona, and I'd throw in St. Mary's.
Better wins away from home. Oregon and Oregon State or Providence and San Diego State.
I think that's a very even argument.
Providence and San Diego State were bubble teams. Oregon State, bottom three teams in the Pac-10.
Garbage.
He's on the air.
Take us out of here. All right, no, we're going to move on. What's the toughest region to get out of? We touched on this a little bit before. What's the toughest and the easiest? Just real quick because we're coming up on an hour here.
I'll stick with my earlier answer. I'd say Pitt, strong 5 seed in Florida State. I don't think Duke's very strong. Villanova's a strong 3.
I think South is definitely the toughest. UNC, Gonzaga, Syracuse, Oklahoma. I think the easiest is definitely UConn in the West.
Okay, South, absolutely the toughest for reasons you just heard from everybody else. I'm going different from my easiest. I'm going Midwest. I love Louisville. I think Louisville's very good. But if Louisville were to go down somehow, the 2 and 3 seeds, Michigan State and Kansas there, I just don't think are good. Wake has proven they can be a little inconsistent. Utah, the worst 5 seed. So I'm going to go with Midwest.
Yep, I would agree. The Midwest, easiest to get out of. And then South is just, the 1 through 4 there is, it's quality stuff. So.
I love Gonzaga so much. And previous to the bracket coming out, that's the 4 seed in the South. I said, I'm going to have Gonzaga in the Elite Eight this year, I think. And I just couldn't do it just because of the UNC. And then you got Hughes, who's on fire, mm-hmm. and Blake Griffin, National Player of the Year. Like, how can you make a tougher bracket?
And I'm going to say that it's possible that 1 through 4 in the South could make the Final Four, depending on what happens. So...
Yeah, like you can't. Either any of them can make.
Yeah,
the
any of them. And any of them could probably win the title.
Yeah.
Would you be completely shocked if Gonzaga?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be completely shocked. So that's a fair point. You're making a good point that they all have very high ceilings.
All right, and we're gonna move on from there. We're the moment you've all been waiting for. We're gonna break down brackets, region by region, pick by pick. Let's start it off. Actually, we thought we were gonna start with the 1s, 2s, and 3s play-in game. Who do we got?
Adam throwing the curveball. I absolutely have Morehead State. Take it to the bank. If you watch the great Morehead State Austin Peay Ohio Valley Championship game, you saw Kenneth Farid absolutely carry that team. The dreadlock monster in the middle for Morehead State absolutely took him home in that game. He's a rebounding machine. He's all kinds of athletic. Blocked a shot late in that game that really saved them. Morehead State, take it to the bank.
Anyone who does that much analysis on the play-in game deserves to have the right pick. I'll go Morehead State.
It doesn't matter.
Thanks for your pick. Who do you make Chief Kicking whatever it is.
We'd be remiss not to mention
Alabama State, Chief Kicking Stallion Sims. Best name in all of college basketball, hands down. He's Native American. He's a former Stetson player for you local people. He used to be at Stetson's at Alabama State now.
I'll take Alabama State.
Score one for D for Chief Kicking Stallion Sims. Best
yeah.
name, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Easily. However, I'm still taking Morehead State, you know, like Kyle said. So, moving on from that, we all have, except for Phil here, we all have the ones, twos, and threes in every region winning.
Except for the Bison.
Except for Phil, who has?
The North Dakota State Bison count, the 14th seed in the Midwest, playing in Minnesota.
All right, let's move on from that. Let's go region by region here. Midwest, let's talk the 8-9 game. Ohio State, Siena. Who does everybody have?
Siena, if anybody who hangs out with me knows, Siena Saints, one of my favorite little conference schools. Siena took out my favorite, one of my favorite college players of all time last year, Jason Thompson, ended his career at Rider in the conference tournament championship game, and then went on to beat Vanderbilt in the first round, a game that I picked, a game that our Mike McCall saw in person at the Tampa Regional, right, in the first round. So, Siena, I'm huge on. Kenny Hausberg, I have a funny story about him. He's their stud shooting guard, and Miami actually was between recruiting Kenny Hausberg, giving him a scholarship, and Jack McClinton, who's their stud going on to the NBA prospect, ended up taking McClinton. And, you know, they obviously, they didn't make a wrong decision there. But Kenny Hausberg's been amazing for them. You'll get to see him play and light up Ohio State, go with the Saints.
All right, Bill?
Yeah, I thought Siena should have almost got a seed better than a 9. I really like the Saints. I know the 8-9's always a toss-up, so it's not like it's an upset either way. But, yeah, I'm going Siena.
Okay, well, once again, you guys are both wrong. Ohio State, the Buckeyes, the Bucks, they're winning. Eric Deebler, Evan Turner, Kupis in the middle. They got more depth. They got height, something Siena doesn't really have that much of. I think Ohio State wins.
Who do they have in the middle?
Greg Oden left. He's no longer at Ohio State.
But not only did Greg Oden leave, Kasa Kupos left, so I'll give you a second to correct yourself. Who do they got in the middle?
B.J. Mullins.
B.J. Mullins, that's freshman, it. Big man.
Which is who I meant. My bad.
He's patrolling the paint, different awkward white guy, seven-footer for you.
You can excuse the confusion when you have two awkward white guys in the middle,
it's
which
cool.
is always hard.
We understand.
All right, I'm going to agree with D for the Ohio State. And like you said, it's basically a toss-up. Siena could very well win this game. This is more of an emotional pick for me, though, because I love Mark Titus, club chewy, and the 13th man for Ohio State. Big reader of his.
I just want to say something about Siena, too. They're from such a small conference. They're from the MAC out there, which is two A's. For everybody paying attention, never more than a one bid conference, and they came away with a 9 seed, which is a lot of respect. So I was a little surprised to see that get a little bit of a tough draw. They probably won't get past Louisville. My Saints 1-round win probably. Okay, let's move on.
All right, let's move on here. The next game on that line is Utah Arizona. Let's start with you, Kyle. You're a vocal detractor.
I'm talked out about all this. I already said. Don't call me a hypocrite. They just got a good matchup. Arizona wins the first round.
This is where I'm going to insert my slight disclaimer. We're analyzing these picks. I don't want to set in stone any of my picks. North Dakota State, they're in stone. They're locked. That's a guarantee. all the other ones I mentioned, I'm picking games right now. Still 2 days to still analyze. My early pick here, a game I really want to look at, but I'll go Arizona for now.
Arizona.
I'll pick Arizona as well to round that up. Next game on the line, Wake Forest, Cleveland State. Let's start it off, Kyle.
Like I said, I like Cleveland State, but I like Wake Forest a little bit more. Al-Farouq Aminu, beast in the middle. Jeff Teague, one of my favorite players. Wake Forest.
Yeah, as I've said, I've always got a man crush on Jeff Teague when they were playing that well early in the season. Cleveland State, if you were facing anyone else, I really like you guys, but Wake Forest.
I'm sure they're listening, by the way.
Yeah. Sorry, Cleveland State. We don't want to hurt your feelings, but...
All right, Deefer?
Jeff Teague and Deeks, too much for Cleveland State.
All right, I'll wrap that up. Wake Forest as well. Let's bring it down. West Virginia versus Kyle's beloved Dayton Flyers.
You know how I feel. Flyers, Chris Wright, taking it home.
Bill?
This one's going to be fun to watch with Kyle because I'm going West Virginia here. I haven't sat down enough, so that pick could easily switch, actually. I want to look kind of at the styles of play each do. But I like West Virginia coming out of the Big East.
Yeah, I like West Virginia too. Big East team, tournament experience. Went to the Sweet 16 last year. I think they get it done.
All right, I agree with Phil. I'm picking West Virginia now. This is one of those that could move. If I hang out with Kyle enough, he could talk me into Dayton here. I could do something.
I don't want to talk anyone into Dayton. I don't want like hate from you guys after they lose, saying I ruined everyone's bracket.
This is going to destroy your bracket and break your heart.
All right, moving on. Kansas, North Dakota State. We all have Kansas other than Phil, who has made the bold pick for his Bison. Moving on, Boston College and USC. Who do we got?
I'm going with USC, the Trojans. They're hot. They won the Pac-10 tournament. Boston College got a guard that I love, Tyrese Rice. He's one of those guys, you feel like he's been at the same school forever. He played with Jared Dudley back in the day, that team that was really good. But USC, I think, a little too much. DeMar DeRozan starting to come into his own. Taj Gibson in the middle. I actually have them in the Sweet 16, so I'm going with USC.
I'm going Trojans as well. They're coming on hot lately.
Yeah, I'm all about the hot team. USC, DeMar DeRozan, too much.
Clean sweep. I have USC as well. And we all also had Michigan State at the bottom of that bracket. So let's move on.
I have a quick USC question.
Yeah, go.
Is Little Romeo at USC? Is he on that team?
Yeah, absolutely. Percy Miller is who you're referring to.
Does he play at all?
No, absolutely not.
He's boys with DeMar DeRozan, right? That's
he may not even be a scholarship player. I think he might be like a preferred walk-on.
I think that's
it. So, but Percy Miller at USC.
All right, let's go into the second round in that bracket.
Making them say, Midwest.
That's the headline.
Second round of that bracket. Who do we have in that top game there? Louisville. We all have in there. Who's winning that game? Louisville, you have Siena, right, Kyle? Louisville versus Siena.
Oh, we're picking the second round, too?
Yeah, we're just going through bracket all at one time here.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
I wasn't prepared for this.
Well, you guys are in for a treat out there. Okay. I like Siena too a lot, but we're going with Louisville. Try to speed this up a little bit, I guess.
All right, Phil.
I think this could be a premier second round game. Louisville Siena, I think it'd be great. Going Louisville.
I think it's nowhere near a premier second round game. I think Louisville crushes whoever they play. So Louisville.
All right, I have Louisville as well to round that up, and I also agree that it probably won't be like a premier, outstanding, must watch.
I'm with you.
Never discredit a team called the Saints.
That's right.
Anyway.
All right, moving on, the next game down the line here.
Arizona Wake, this is where Arizona shows that they shouldn't have gotten in. Wake Forest, Jeff Teague moves on.
Yep, big Wake Forest.
Yeah, I got Wake.
Wake Forest moving on over to Arizona as well. Next game down, Kyle, Dayton over Kansas.
Okay, now here's where I put my disclaimer that I haven't taken out my chisel yet. I haven't put it all in stone. This is just a bad emotional matchup for me because I hate Kansas and love Dayton. So right now I got Dayton, but... I might be more reasonable later on. I don't know. Dayton for now.
The fairy tale of North Dakota State will end in the second round. West Virginia moving to the Sweet 16.
Deeper.
Cole Aldridge has his way at Kansas.
I also have Kansas taking down West Virginia. So, next game down, we all have USC and Michigan State. Who's coming out on top?
Don't like Michigan State. Don't like Big Ten basketball. USC too athletic. They move on.
This one, I honestly hadn't even thought of this matchup till this very second. As much as I hate Michigan State, I'm favoring the hot team at USC too much. So for this second, Michigan State.
Disclaimer here, I'm starting to reconsider this, but at the moment I have Michigan State in, so I'll say Michigan State.
Also have Michigan State.
Bunch of punks. All right, let's keep going.
All right, let's move on. We're in the Sweet 16 here. Who we got in that first game? Louisville Wake.
Okay, I say, again, not set in stone. Logic might get the better of me later. I got Wake knocking off Louisville, moving on to the Elite Eight.
As I said, man crush on Teague, but Louisville gets it done.
Cardinals.
I agree, Cardinals bringing it home. So next game down there, Kansas, Michigan State. I have Kansas, Michigan State. Kyle, if you say Dayton, I swear.
So you guys have seen how I filled out my bracket a little bit differently than them at this point. I had USC knocking off Michigan State, opening the door for Dayton to slide in against maybe a little bit of a shaky team there in USC. Dayton Flyers in the Elite Eight.
Wow. Go West Virginia over Michigan State. They hear my hatred for Michigan State reappears. West Virginia in the Elite Eight.
Kansas makes it to the Elite Eight, the best team in that little part of the bracket. So
I actually differ on that. I'm going to say Michigan State. I don't necessarily like them. I just feel like they will maybe luck their way into this spot in the bracket here. So let's move on. We have who do you got coming into the Final Four from the Midwest bracket? Make a pick.
And here's where it ends for the Flyers. Wheels come off. Jeff Teague takes one of the Final Four. Wake Forest.
Louisville.
Terrence Williams in Louisville.
Earl Clark in Louisville.
T-Will, as Kyle calls him.
T-Will.
All right, so that's it. Three of us have Louisville going into the Final Four from that bracket, and Kyle has Wake, I believe. So, All right, let's move on into the West. Despite my hometown at one point love for Tennessee Chattanooga, we all have UConn winning. Moving on to the BYU Texas A&M. What you got?
A&M, no analysis.
I got nothing here, but we'll go early pick A&M.
BYU's got a guy who's 26 years old. BYU.
I'm going to go with Texas.
For veteran experience.
I'm going to go with Texas A&M, and I'll say no analysis as well, not because I'm withholding, but because I literally have nothing to say about that game.
Josh Carter, look out for him for Texas A&M. It's the only thing I'm going to give you. All
right. Dash Harris is a good point guard. Throw that out there.
All right, what they said. All right, let's move on. Purdue, North Iowa.
Purdue, they're hot. They're good. Hamill's a good player. Purdue.
A game I'm going to have to sit down and look at. We'll go Purdue, Bowl of America's for now.
Yeah, I like Robbie Hummel. They've done well in the tournament the last couple of years, Purdue.
All right, I will say Purdue as well to wrap that up. Clean sweep. All right, Washington versus Mississippi State, which we talked about a little bit earlier.
Yeah, we gave
show.
You some thoughts on that earlier. I'm still going with Washington, though. Brockman's a great player.
I'm very, very swayed. I'm going Bulldogs for now, but that could switch.
Mm. Yeah, at Jarvis Renardo gets the best of John Brockman, the Bulldogs advance.
All right, so we're at a 50-50 split here because I said Washington moves on.
Washington's proven they can lose to SEC schools. Just ask Florida. But anyway.
Yeah, but it is hard to go into a team with a guy who is named Isaiah Thomas. So
like I said,
although it is spelled differently for the record.
All right, let's move on here. Marquette, Utah State.
We had a little talk about this too earlier. Jarrell McNeil, one of my favorite players in the entire country, Marquette.
As we did talk earlier, I'm sticking with Utah State.
Yeah, Marquette.
Marquette as well. All right, Missouri versus Cornell, the Ivy League representative.
Miz. Cornell's actually not that bad. Might put up a bigger fight than people think, but I'm going with Miz.
I'm not crazy enough to pick 2 14s. Let's stick with Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri.
So you're just crazy enough to pick 1 14
season.
That's
right.
All right, I'm going to take Missouri as well. Cal, Maryland, who do we have there?
Going with the Terps. Again, you're going with a hot team. California's a team that's actually trailed off a little bit, maybe backed their way into the tournament a little bit. Mm. General Grievous at point guard, Grievous Vasquez, does a great job for the Terps. And
Star Wars?
Yeah, that's a Star Wars joke, absolutely. But I think Maryland gets it done.
Let it be known that we can call upsets too. Kyle just speaks first in this rotation. I also have the Maryland.
Yeah, Maryland's a good team. Gary Williams probably needs to do something in the tournament to ensure his job safety, even though he's been there forever. Fear the turtle, Maryland.
All right, so that's the second 7-10 we've all picked the 10 on, so that's interesting. I'm going with Maryland as well.
The new 5-12.
There you go. All right, we all agreed on the Memphis moving on there. So let's go UConn and the 8-9 winner.
UConn over A&M.
Absolutely UConn over A&M.
UConn.
Clean sweep. All right, next, the 5-12, 4-13, who we got?
Boilermakers take down Washington, move into the Sweet 16.
I hate this game because thinking of either of these teams as a Sweet 16 team, it kind of bothers me, but I got Purdue over Mississippi State.
Yeah, I like Purdue. Purdue moves on.
I have Purdue as well for the same thing. It's like I said about Michigan State. It's not that I'm crazy about them. It's just
like
that I'm all right with the matchup they have.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then let's move on down there, the 6-11, 3-14.
All right, we're going with Missouri over Marquette. They're just a little too much to handle. DeMar Carroll, he's a great player for Missouri. If you don't know his name, you will by the end of the tournament, Missouri.
I need to brush up on my Mizzou knowledge and my Utah State knowledge, but I don't like Utah State enough, so Mizzou over Utah State.
Yeah, I got Missouri.
Once again, clean sweep, Missouri. So let's move on here to the Maryland-Memphis that we all have.
You guys know what I think about Memphis at this point. Maryland, General Grievous, taking it to the Sweet 16.
Another premier second-round matchup in the 2-7. I'm going Memphis over Maryland, but a really good game.
You mean the 2-10.
I don't disagree with though. I think Maryland-Memphis is a good game.
Yeah, I do too.
I like Maryland, like Tariq Evans, the point guard for Memphis. I like Memphis to move on.
Absolutely agree. We're looking at a really good 2-10 matchup there. Once again, I'm taking the 2 seed, and we're moving on to the Sweet 16 here. Who we got?
UConn, a little too much. The beat's a really bad matchup for Purdue down low. AJ Absolutely. Price out of his mind right now. UConn.
It's another game where I'm like, UConn, Purdue, like, I don't really like Purdue's Sweet 16 team. I certainly don't like them as Elite 8 team. UConn.
Yeah, if it beat UConn.
I agree. Taking one home for the Huskies there. All right, bottom side of the bracket.
Miz, a little too much for Maryland. They make a run into the Elite Eight here.
That possibly could happen. I'm not big on Miz, though. I got Memphis over Missouri.
Yeah, I have Memphis moving on.
I have Memphis as well. This is one that could change, though, because I know you're big on Missouri. I want to look up a couple more things about that team and then make a little more informed decision. But right now, going with Memphis. All right, who's coming out of that conference, Final Four?
UConn. Jeff Adrian, another great player for them. They're too much to handle. UConn.
Memphis Tigers. UConn has shown it has some weaknesses.
Memphis back to the Final Four.
Yep.
Oh, Phil, let me down.
I can't stand the thought of Memphis and John Calipari going back to the Final Four for 2 straight years, so UConn goes.
despite what I just said about my pick there, I actually have Memphis going to the Final Four. But once again, this is all fluid. It could all change. Sorry, Kyle. I'm disappointed there.
Tyrese Evans, man.
All right, let's move on to the East. We all have Pittsburgh beating ETSU, the Buccaneers, and Oklahoma State versus Tennessee. Who do we get?
Tennessee.
Yeah, I like the Volunteers because they've shown that they can really go up-tempo. I think it can throw some teams off. Really athletic and long.
Yeah, we've all seen Tennessee play this year. I think we all kind of like Tennessee, so Tennessee.
I like Tennessee repping the SEC. Really athletic team they got there. All right, Florida State, Wisconsin.
FSU,
absolutely.
Noles are a lock here. Wisconsin's not.
I agree. I think that's the least likely upset in the 5-12 there.
Wisconsin may only score 50 points, but FSU will score significantly more than that, unfortunately for the Badgers.
All right, Xavier, Portland State.
Xavier, I'm not huge on Xavier. Portland State's not going to get it done.
Yeah, I don't know, really know enough here, but I think Xavier's safe.
The Musketeers march on to the next round.
Nice. All right, I'll go with Xavier as well. UCLA, VCU, a hotly contested topic in our first segment there. Who do you got, Kyle?
Eric Maynard, Anthony Grant, second round, VCU.
Absolutely. Go VCU.
Godwin is smiling the whole way. UCLA moves on.
I'm going to say
VCU. The 96-year-old John Wooden, he was in better health these days.
Yeah, just came out of the hospital.
Yeah. All right, I'll say VCU as well. And Villanova American?
He just came out of the hospital, but he still looks like death. I mean, John Wooden is very. Come on, Adam. I know you're looking at me like
he's
I'm crazy.
He's at every game. He's at every
game. I love John Wooden. He's an absolute legend. I'm concerned that, like, when I see him in the crowd, that he just might go right there.
All right, I also want to plug something real quick. If you guys have never read John Wooden's book, it's the best thing you'll ever read. Yeah. Go read John Wooden's book. It's great.
So. Great basketball mind. John Wooden, one of the legends for sure.
Unfortunately, he's going to watch his Bruins lose in the first round.
Yeah, to VCU. All right, that never would have happened 60 years ago.
Yeah, for real. All right, Villanova American, real quick.
Villanova.
Yeah, same.
Nova.
Yep, once
Scotty
again.
Scotty Reynolds, the age of Scotty Reynolds.
Let's see if we can keep the 7-10 streak running here. Texas-Minnesota.
Texas, inconsistent team. Inconsistent team. Rick Barnes, I don't actually love as a coach. Tubby Smith, great coach, great tournament coach. Minnesota, Golden Gophers moving on.
I'm going with Golden Gophers. I'm a little worried Texas might have a little too much talent, but Tubby Smith, great coach.
I love Tubby, and I want him to win, but I have to go with Texas.
Don't you ruin our 7-10 thing.
Sorry.
I took Minnesota as well, so Deeper, you're the only exception to this rule we've established.
I'm the only one that'll be right. It's fine.
All
right,
I got that.
Got that swagger.
Man, confidence. All right, I got Minnesota, and I had Duke. We all had Duke as well in the bottom there. All right, let's move on. Second round.
I want to talk about Binghamton real quick.
Yeah?
Binghamton. First time they've ever been to the tournament in the history of their school, but I'm not sure you guys saw the thing on Sports the other day. Binghamton's had like several players be arrested this year.
Really?
A lot of controversy
like
on that.
Three arrests. They've had some suspensions. They basically brought these guys who were talented players with all kinds of character issues to kind of buy their way into the tournament. So I'll be interested to see Binghamton play, actually.
Wow. Yeah. Big news. You heard it here first. Wow.
Where is this place? I
it's New York. It's in New York. I believe Tony Kornheiser went to Binghamton.
Yeah, I believe it's SUNY Binghamton. It's a state school not known for their athletics by any stretch of the imagination.
One hell of a logo,
what
though, by the way.
You see this logo? Vicious looking.
Some kind of bear. I think they're the Bearcats.
I want to... Don't hold me to this. I want to say they're American East, but I don't know for sure.
I'm just curious. A Duke is going to
they
win,
beat
though.
UMBC, by the way, was a tournament team last year.
Retrievers.
To get in, so.
Jeez, all right, let's move on. Second round, Pittsburgh and Tennessee.
Pitt.
DeJuan Blair and Pitt.
Pitt. All right, FSU, Xavier.
FSU, Tony Douglas keeping the dream alive for FSU.
Absolutely, Douglas is awesome. FSU.
Knowles move on.
I completely agree. I think Florida State's really, really turned it around this year. Got a lot of good stuff going for them there. All right, let's move on to the bottom of the bracket. UCLA VCU winner versus Villanova.
Yeah, we've talked about this some too. I really like Villanova, and this is a likely change for me later as I become increasingly more reasonable as the tournament comes closer. For now, I have VCU over Nova, but that's mostly because I just want them to beat Duke again. So we'll see. I might flip on that.
Gotta have my love in Anthony Grant, VCU over Villanova. Yeah.
You guys are drinking the Anthony Grant Kool-Aid. He's a great coach, but he won't be in this game, so it won't matter. So UCLA who moves on over Nova.
I'm going to take Villanova just to be a little different there. All right, let's go Minnesota-Duke or Texas-Duke in Deeper's case.
Yeah, Duke over Minnesota, a little too much to handle.
Yeah, as much as anyone wants to dislike Duke, I don't think they can screw this up, Duke.
Yeah, I like Duke.
All right, I have Duke as well.
I want to throw the stat out there I heard today that I was asking you guys about. Since their NCAA championship in 2001, the Duke Blue Devils, the mighty Duke Blue Devils, the holier-than-thou
Coach K, Duke Blue Devils have been to exactly, count them, one Sweet 16 since 2001. So unimpressive, and I think they'll get back there this year, but they kind of need to prove something here, I think.
All right, so let's move on to the Sweet 16 in the top of that bracket. Who do we got? Pitt, Florida State?
Pitt vanquishes some tournament demons, defeat the Noles. LaVance Fields, great point guard.
This could be an absolutely great game. I hope I get to see this game.
Right.
Douglas for FSU going against Pitt could be great. Pitt's just got too much with DeJuan Blair.
Yeah, Blair, Fields, Sam Young, I think Pitt breaks through this time and gets there.
I agree with you, Phil. I'm completely excited for this game. This is something I'm really, really interested in watching. I'm going to go with Pitt, though, say goodbye to the in-state rival here at UF. Let's move on to the bottom of the bracket. Who do you got? Duke and ECU.
Well, in my dream, Eric Maynor again takes down Duke, but I'm going with BCU over Duke, yeah.
Absolutely. Second that. I hope it happens. I'll cry.
Are you really? You're picking BCU? Really?
Yeah. Map it. No, that's not a lock yet.
BCU will definitely not be this far in the tournament. So I have UCLA beating Duke and moving on.
It'll be in Boston, by the way, if it happens.
All right, I have Villanova moving on from there. So we got Pitt and I have Villanova here. Who you got in that moving on to the final?
Yeah, I have Pitt versus BCU. Again, this is where the dream ends for BCU. Pitt moves on to the Final Four.
Bothers me that I'm picking another number one seed, so I'm going to have to really strap this bracket. But Pitt over BCU.
Yeah, I mean, I like UCLA, but Jamie Dixon and Pitt, they move on to the Final Four.
I have Pitt moving on as well, and it does not bother me that I have another number one seed moving on. I'm just throwing that out there. All right, so the Final Four we got so far is Louisville, Pitt, and Memphis on my side. You want to recap real quick before I move into the Final One?
Yeah, Wake, UConn, and Pitt for me.
Same as Adam. I've got Louisville, Pitt, and Memphis.
Deeper. Louisville, Pitt, and UConn for me.
All right, let's move into that final bracket, the South, the one we all agree was the toughest one, probably the most interesting one to watch going into the tournament here. We all have UNC winning over Radford, surely a close game. If you're watching that,
I had never heard of Radford before. This was one of those off-the-map schools for me. I don't know about you guys.
I completely. I have no recollection of Radford ever. So.
All right, so let's move on. LSU, SEC team, and Butler.
Butler's a little young this year, and LSU is very veteran this year. So I'm going to go with LSU. I think Thornton has a big game.
I'm going with LSU. It's something I really want to break down. I don't know enough about Butler, but I like LSU. They're veteran, and Marcus Thornton could be key. LSU.
Yeah, I think 9 seems a little bit high for Butler. I think they probably could have been 10, but I like LSU to move on.
I'm just going to go with Butler. I feel like they're always one of those teams that sneaks into the next round, even when people generally count them out there.
Fair enough.
No A.J. Graves, by the way.
Though. Yeah, so. Yeah, that's true. All right, let's move on. Illinois, Western Kentucky.
Western Kentucky, Hilltoppers do it again, take down Illinois.
Absolutely, Hilltoppers.
The Illini, Jeff Jordan, will be cheering hard from the bench.
All right, I'm going to pick Illinois as well then, and we're going to move on to the next one, Gonzaga, Akron. Kyle, do we even need to ask you about Gonzaga?
No, I love Gonzaga, they move on.
Second it.
Gonzaga wears the black uniforms and they win. Best uniforms in college basketball all season.
Wow. All right, I'm going to pick Gonzaga as well. Moving on, 6-11, Arizona State Temple.
This is one I could change later. I'm going with Arizona State and Harden for right now, but that could change. I like Temple also.
Yeah, this is a game I circled. I want to get into more in depth, but I'm going Arizona State for now.
This is a very close game for me. I think Temple could definitely win this game. I have Arizona State penciled in for now, so I'll go Arizona State, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Temple slipped by there.
I mentioned it in the last segment. I'm going to go with Temple. Moving on, Syracuse and SF Austin, as it's written on my bracket.
Kyle, yeah, Stephen F. Austin. The Cuse is going to move on here. Stephen F. Austin's actually a kind of a decent team from the Southland Conference. So, I don't know. Look out for them to maybe push them a little bit more than you would think, but Cuse moves on.
I am drinking the Syracuse Kool-Aid like I drink orange juice every morning. Syracuse, second round.
Mighty Johnny Flynn, and my close personal friend, Eric Ebendorf. Move on.
Your close personal friend?
We've talked.
I have close personal friends with a lot of people. Yeah. All right, I'll take Syracuse as well. You mentioned it before, guard play is something that comes up really big in the tournament, and I think Syracuse has great guard play. I think they're going farther than people might think. Let's move on to the 7-10, Clemson, Michigan.
I'm breaking our trend here. Bucking the trend, Clemson beats Michigan.
Yeah, and it worries me because I've just picked 4-10 seeds, which probably has never happened. I like Michigan over Clemson today. That's likely to change tomorrow. The things I don't like about the Tigers is how they usually trail off towards the end of the season, and Michigan has shown it can beat big teams, beat Duke and UCLA, if I'm correct.
Yeah, Michigan had some big wins. The Duke one was big for me. I like Michigan.
All right, I picked Clemson on that one. So moving on to the last one, we all picked Oklahoma.
Yeah.
So we can move on to the round of 32, UNC and LSU as you have it.
UNC.
UNC, if they lose in the second round, that would be ridiculous. UNC.
UNC cruises with or without Ty Lawson.
Yeah, agreed. To this point, I'm even going without Ty Lawson for UNC.
Yeah, that was a big point I was going to make. Like, UNC's going to win anyway, but it's the next round we're not having
Ty Lawson. And something we didn't get into that we talked about a little bit off air is, if I'm UNC and I'm Roy Williams and I'm a good coach that people think I am, I'm sitting Ty Lawson in that Radford game. You do not need Ty Lawson to beat Radford. Yeah, in my opinion, I would shoot him up and have him on the bench. Mm-hmm. And if things get a little dicey for UNC, which they absolutely shouldn't against Radford, with or without Ty Lawson, maybe you have him go out there and take the floor. But there's no reason. Get him an extra couple days of rest.
All right, so that's it. We all have UNC moving on to the Sweet 16 there. Who we got in the next game down? I think you have Western Kentucky Gonzaga.
Yeah, Zags.
This is admittedly a little emotional, maybe a little anti-Kyle, but I got the Hilltoppers right now going Sweet 16.
Josh Heupel, Gonzaga.
I have Gonzaga moving on as well, so let's move on down there. The 6-11-3-14 winner.
Hughes takes out Arizona State or Temple, whoever I settle on.
Holy cow, Orange moving on.
Big Orange.
I have the Orange moving on as well. Let's bring it down to the last game of this round.
Oklahoma takes out Clemson. Blake Griffin is a man in the paint.
Yeah, this whole like bottom of this bracket, I'm probably going to rework like 8 times. I have Michigan over Oklahoma.
Wow.
Well, you could be extremely wrong.
Phil hasn't watched any college basketball this season, guys.
Not actually. What is college basketball?
Yeah.
Oklahoma, not just Blake Griffin, but Taylor Griffin and Willie Warren, they move on easily.
Yep.
I agree. Oklahoma's a really good team moving on there.
Who's this Griffin film? I'm kidding.
All right, let's go on into the Sweet 16 here. Who we got?
Okay, now this is where Ty Lawson becomes critical for me.
Huge fact.
I love Gonzaga. They're absolutely loaded. They have so many talented players. Parga, one of the most underrated point guards in the nation. Heupel, you already heard
great
about from
Dunker.
Austin Day, incredible shooter, big-time pro prospect. They just got Matt Bolden, Micah Downs. They're loaded. They have so many great players. But UNC is just too much at full strength. So Ty Lawson's at full strength. UNC, if not, Gonzaga.
See, this is an easier choice for me because I had Western Kentucky. So UNC over Western Kentucky.
I agree with Kyle. Ty Lawson plays. It's a big toss-up. But I think UNC wins with or without Ty Lawson this game. UNC.
All right, I have UNC moving on, but I'll definitely reconsider that if I hear Ty Lawson is a little more injured than maybe we think he is right now. Yeah. Let's move on to the bottom of that bracket. I have Syracuse, Oklahoma. I believe you do as well.
Yes, I have the same matchup, and I have Oklahoma moving on. I feel like Oklahoma's got some athletic guys to match up with some of Syracuse's better perimeter players, but Syracuse does not have anybody to match up with Blake Griffin.
How dare you doubt Johnny Flynn? He will make a believer of you all. Of course, I have Michigan, which is very likely going to change. But Syracuse in the Elite Eight.
If Johnny Flynn guards Blake Griffin, they have a chance.
Yeah, well, all right,
okay. In my undying love for Johnny Flynn, I have Syracuse moving on over Oklahoma. Although, admittedly, Blake Griffin is the best player in the country.
Okay.
But I think Syracuse has Onwuegu, who could... He's a big guy. He's not as talented.
He's a big guy that could foul out against Blake Griffin.
He's a big guy. He's a big Russian guy. Or whatever.
102-100.
Who slipped off a rim the other day? Did you guys see that?
Yeah, it flipped over.
One of the scariest things I've seen. It was really a nasty fall. I actually suffered a similar injury off an 8.5-foot hoop a couple summers ago. But
Kyle knows the extent of that.
That's unfortunate, but funny.
So I want Syracuse to move on to Syracuse.
Well, I mean, of course you're going to cheer for your best friend, Eric. All right, I'm going to take Syracuse as well.
Diefendorf comes off the court and texts Diefer immediately.
For the record, I did meet Eric Diefendorf in a hotel gym in Oklahoma City earlier this year, or Kansas City, okay.
Yeah.
So I have met him.
We shared a moment.
I'm sure he doesn't
There's
remember
been a romance ever since.
I couldn't have been more proud to hit that amazing leading shot that did not count against UConn the other night.
He did it for you.
If that would have counted, that would be the most ridiculous shot ever.
All right, who's going to the Final Four from that bracket? Who's filling it out?
Okay, this is what I haven't really thought about because I didn't really think about a Gonzaga matchup if Ty Lawson's not healthy. I got UNC if Ty Lawson's playing, and I got Gonzaga if he's not. So I'm going to take Gonzaga to knock off Oklahoma also.
See, you're doing much thinking. Johnny Flynn of the Orange. Go to the Final Four in Detroit. Right, Motown.
If Ty Lawson somehow does not play, you win. I think I got Syracuse going. But on my bracket now, I'm assuming Ty Lawson is healthy. I think Carolina rolls.
I'm in the exact same situation. Ty Lawson doesn't play. Flynn and Devendorf, they take it. Syracuse goes. But if Lawson's there, even at like 80%, like we talked about.
If he's on the court and touching a basketball, they win.
By the way, I like Gonzaga to beat Syracuse should the situation arise as well. I just think Gonzaga's loaded. I like them a lot.
All right, so that rounded out my Final Four. I'll go. Let's go through our Final Fours real quick.
Going through to the championship predictions. What do you want me to do here?
Just take it to who's going to win each game of the Final Four.
Okay, so we got Pitt and UNC on my right side of the bracket. I'm going with UNC, but again, if Ty Lawson's not playing, I have Gonzaga, and I'm going to go with Pitt over Gonzaga in that scenario. But UNC, assuming Ty Lawson plays.
I am drinking way too much Syracuse Kool-Aid, so I need to, like, sober up over the next couple days. Wait, are we doing both Final Four games?
Kyle, oh, my other game. Well. Okay, left side is I have Wake UConn. I think UConn is a horrible matchup for Wake, so I think UConn's going to go ahead and win that one.
Okay.
All right, I've got Pitt and Syracuse on the right half, a little Big East rematch. A game I would love to see as many times as they want to play. Since I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, we'll go Syracuse. And then on the left side, I got Louisville, Memphis. And let's give some more Big East love. So Louisville over Memphis. I think Memphis is very good. I don't think they can take out the Cardinals.
You went Memphis, Cuse. I couldn't be friends with you anymore. So let's move on to defense.
All right, well, I am in no way proud of this, but I have all four number one seeds.
Pitt,
UNC. My heart says Pitt, but my head says Carolina. I think Carolina makes that game.
Don't strain yourself picking between one seeds here.
Louisville and UConn.
The higher ranked one seed.
I like Louisville, so Louisville and UNC for the title.
Louisville and UNC. Chalk, baby.
I actually have the same thing. I have Louisville, UNC. I do not have all number one seeds in there, though. I have Memphis down there. So
there you go.
I have Louisville over Memphis. And Pitt over UNC. All right. Title game, who's bringing it home?
Here's what you've been waiting for.
One shining moment. Who is it?
Oh, God.
If Mike McCall wasn't so obnoxious, I could enjoy this a little bit more. But I've said UNC since preseason. There's no reason for me to jump off the bandwagon now. UNC, with a healthy Ty Lawson, goes on to capture the championship. Without Ty Lawson, my game looks like UConn and Pitt, all Big East final. A game we've seen before. And I like the way DeJuan Blair handles the beat. I'm going to go with Pitt takes it all in that scenario.
All right.
Yeah, Louisville-Syracuse rematch of the Big East tournament, which I think would be a lot better because Syracuse wouldn't have played like 8.5 games by the time they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
But drinking the Kool-Aid, so go orange.
Wow.
Johnny Flynn, ride him to the end.
I would love to see Syracuse win the title, but they're not in my bracket here. I want nothing more than UNC to not win the title and Kyle to be wrong. So Louisville wins the title. Rick Pitino gets another one.
I have the same. I have Louisville taking down UNC to bring it home. So
I'm sure I can see that.
All right, that's the whole bracket. We've taken you through everything, given our insider analysis here, and by insider analysis, I mean complete guesses. So,
Mr. Bracket, North Dakota State, it's a lock.
God, Mr. Bracken, as only he will call himself, by the way. That is a self-given nickname, and it's something that only he will call himself. Do we have anything else to talk
about
here?
Yes, I have some other things to talk about.
That's right.
We baked you a cake, and I'm going to put some icing on it right here for you.
This could be quality material.
Yeah, this is it. All right, here's the moment they've been waiting for. I'm going to start off with a little UF talk, actually. I'm going to loop this back. I don't mean to do this to everyone. I know we got your spirits up with some good teams, and we're going to go back to UF. I watched a baseball game with my roommate. We're going to call him New Kid for the purposes of this podcast. He threw out a really interesting question that I think is going to be met initially with outrage and then acceptance by my fellow podcasters here. Is Nick Calathes the best player in recent memory not to have had his team make the tournament in his college career?
Wow.
I think you were wrong that you would be met with... I want to disagree with you because you're Kyle and I'm Phil and I'm supposed to disagree with you. But I actually initially agree until I can find someone to beat you.
Yeah.
I've drawn blanks on these other great players, but Calathes is one of the best players in the country and he's been 0-2 now, so I got
I have to agree, actually.
Yeah, the way you phrased that, I mean, it is fairly convincing. I would say Steph Curry for Davidson is a very good player in his career.
He was in the tournament. Oh. Yeah, we're saying over the course of a career, be it one, two, or three, like, however long it lasts. But, you know, Steph Curry's been there twice.
Unless you're going to go Patty Mills here.
Patty Mills was in last year.
Oh, okay. He was in last year.
Yeah. So, now the other name that comes to mind, Jason Thompson, of course. But Jason Thompson, you know, great player for the Sacramento Kings. He's a rookie that's, you know, developing there. He went to Ryder, where I absolutely loved him and fawned over him. Put up two 2010 seasons in a row at the end of his career at Ryder. Was a lottery pick. A lot of people didn't know where he was coming from on the draft board. I had my eye on him for a few years. Just man crush for me. But, you know, he played at a small school, and he couldn't get past Siena. It was unfortunate. He never got to the tournament. But that the small school players are a little bit, you know, that's a little bit questionable. The big school guys, I just don't know. Nobody jumps off, like, comes to mind. I feel like great players elevate their teams to at least make the tournament. Nick Lathis, really, it's shocking he hasn't been able to do
that. I
want to
say the one thing Nick hasn't been able to do is make the people around him better. As good of a player as he is, he can go out and get his, get 30 points and 10 assists and whatever he's going to do, but he doesn't seem to affect the game in a way where he can make others better. I think that's really the next step he needs to take.
Fair point.
All right, and now that you've raised your question that you forgot to ask, basically, in the last show, I'm going to do mine. Did we think if UF had made the tournament, would it have been overachieving for the team it had this year? You consider no Spates, you know, they had Calathis. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. Kyle, you're shaking your head.
No, I think it would have been on par with expectations. They had ample opportunity. If you think about it, I mean, all they had to do was not get upset by Georgia or not lose to South Carolina on a bonehead defensive play at the end of the game or beat Auburn in the NCAA tournament. It's a multiple choice. Just pick one game that you didn't want to mess up in. They messed up every chance they got. They underachieved massively this season. They should have been in.
Yeah, going into this season, I thought it was a lock that Florida at least makes the tournament. Whether or not they win a game or not, it was debatable. But I thought it was a lock they were going to get in. So I know Phil has been itching to talk about this.
Yeah. Well, certainly the Gators exactly made my expectations because since the preseason, I said that I didn't think they would make the tournament. So, to me, yeah, making the tournament would have been overachieving. As you'll read in my column Monday morning that you probably won't read unless you're busy in class or on the bus.
Or not busy in class or on the bus.
That works too. But the biggest thing was, yeah, it wasn't the small things. There was many opportunities where the season could have turned around. As Kyle said, South Carolina, Auburn, Mississippi State.
Yeah, pick a Mississippi State.
Pick one.
Yeah.
They were even in
Tennessee
the game against Syracuse. Neutral. They were in. Yeah. I don't think they could have won, but neutral could have won. But the thing is, they don't win any of them. The craziest stat I'd ever seen until I looked it up, they lost 10 games this year. 8 of them by 6 points or less.
Yeah, they couldn't close out games. They don't know how to win.
They don't know how to win. That's not going to get the NCAA tournament.
So, yeah, and to back Phil up, he did say it. He said it the whole year. He maintained it. So, Phil scored some points there.
To ridicule.
You were excited to say you were right, and I'm glad that an hour and 36 minutes into this show, you finally got your chance.
All right, and the last thing I got for everybody out there, as I was watching the SEC tournament on the channel I love so much, Raycom Sports, I was texting with my good friends, Mike and Phil here, who were in person at the SEC tournament. And the night of the UConn-Syracuse game, that magical night, they got a little nostalgic for the Big East, or I don't know what you want to call it, but they were fawning over how great the Big East is. Defra, I don't know if you remember the text you sent me, or maybe it was over the phone, but what kind of stuff were you and Phil saying? Enlighten our listeners.
I was just completely awestruck by that game. I was in love with it. I thought it was one of the greatest games I had ever seen.
I was wishing I was covering real basketball at Madison Square Garden other than this joke at the Saving Times Forum.
Yeah, so that's where I build you up. Here's where I tear you down. So the Big East has really, in you know, the last couple of years, maybe emerged as the best conference in college basketball. But I'm going to throw a challenge to you guys. In the last 20 basketball seasons, I'm going to ask you, which conference has won the most NCAA championships? And I'll take a round-robin response here.
Oh, wait. Out of those two?
Or any conference.
Oh, any conference. Okay.
It's going to come from a major conference. This isn't a trick question. Yeah, the answer to this question is not the Summit League.
Big Sky.
Yeah.
Bill?
I'll go ACC.
I think it's probably going to be ACC, but I kind of feel like it's a curveball. I don't.
It's definitely a trick question.
I don't know. I don't want it to be the SEC, but
My gut response was ACC, but I feel like the way you're phrasing this is going to be SEC. No, it is secretly a trick question.
Yeah, hey, this is why we get paid for this. It is the ACC. All three of you got it right. They've won six in the 20-year span. Now, the next thing is the Big East. How many Big East titles have we had last 20 years?
What was the ACC? How many did they won, you said?
Six. That was the most.
I've got two for the Big East.
Three?
Syracuse, UConn, and UConn won two, right? So
I'm going to
say three.
That's a three, I think.
I'm going to go to four. I thought Georgetown had one last week.
No, Georgetown, no. Three is right. Two out of three panelists answer correctly. And the money question. How many tournament champions have come from the SEC in the last 20 years?
I know where this is going. I'll say four.
Three.
Five, ladies and gentlemen. Five, count them. We got two for Florida, two for Kentucky, 96 and 98. One for 40 minutes of hell,
Arkansas.
If you're keeping score at home, we got the three biggest conferences that have done the best as far as tournament titles in the last 20 years. ACC at six, nipping on its heels the SEC with five, and under them, the Big East with three. Hmm. So the point I'm trying to make here is that the last couple of years, or like SEC had a really down year this year, but it wasn't so long ago the SEC had two schools in the Final Four. And it's just not as lopsided as people think it is. We like the, you know, big boy basketball, real basketball, this stuff. They play some real basketball in the SEC.
The SEC has not had a six overtime game.
Has anyone, isn't that like the second longest game in the history of college basketball?
It is a second longest.
A ridiculous point by Phil.
I'm full of them. I don't know why you're surprised.
You know, you make the worst arguments ever, as it was said before.
So, but I had the worst argument
before
ever.
Before I round out by conference the other championships, you guys have anything to defend yourselves on that? No.
I wasn't claiming that the Big East was better than the SEC forever. I'm saying, like, wanted to be at Madison Square Garden, not in the Safety Times Forum.
Yeah. Okay. You guys just rewind about 4 minutes, and you'll hear Phil Kegler say, I wish I could cover some real basketball. So,
I covered basketball in Florida, not real basketball.
I'm going to make the point that the SEC is extremely top-heavy, and the Big East is vastly deeper than the SEC.
Okay, now, I knew you were going to go there. This is ridiculous for two reasons. One, they have 16 teams. They have 16
which is absurd,
teams
which
against
is 12,
so they have more chances for teams to be good.
But throw
yes,
the bottom
no?
four out.
That's not fair to just throw the bottom four out. Come on, that's not how it works. You're going to have, like, balance
USF,
every St.
John's,
DePaul. Give me, okay, fine. You guys want to be ridiculous. Fine, throw the bottom four out. But to say it's top-heavy, the Big East has only won three, and UConn won two of them. So only two teams have won there. In the SEC, you had two teams win two. Kentucky and SEC, and then Arkansas, a third team. So you had more teams winning more championships.
I would say, and I wasn't called out by name, probably because I wisely did not text you once that was happening. But, I mean, historically, I would absolutely say, you know, the SEC has been a little stronger. But I think, you know, you're looking at this year, maybe last year. I mean, you're hard not to say the Big East. And I don't know if that's what you two are arguing. I would hope so. I would hope that you're not
strong. I'm
going
to say, I'd like to look at the last 20 years. See how many Big East teams have made the Final Four in comparison to the SEC.
I honestly didn't check that out, so it's probably more, but I don't know for sure. I know. Okay, and just to round it out for everybody out there who's really curious, where did those other titles come from, Kyle? I know you're asking me that. So the Pac-10 has only won two. They've only won two in the last 20 years. The Big 12, grand total of one, and that was Kansas. Yeah. Kansas won the 21st year also, Danny Manning and co. And so if we went, you know, one more year back, they'd have two. The Big Ten has two. And the Mountain West Conference has won your UNLV running
Rebels.
Running
Rebels, baby.
And
one which they paid for, but that's fine.
That rounds it out.
All right, I think that about rounds it out for this lengthy Alligator Sports podcast we've had here.
God bless you if you made it this far.
God bless. Absolutely. We tried something a little different here, you know, not the usual UAF weekly roundup. We're trying to expand a little bit, talk about the college sports world. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. If this is something that gets downloaded, something that people express interest in, maybe we'll do it again. You know, we'll come back, a little more stuff like this. So once again, thanks for listening. If you've made it this far, send any feedback, sports@alligator.org. Sign up for our bracket challenge.
Bring it on the bracket challenge.
Come on, you can get second place. I know I've got first, but you can get second. Don't worry about it.
None of us know what we're talking about. Just come on in. I mean, Phil's just off his rocker. Deeper's high on UCLA. I'm way too emotional about Dayton.
And I have not...
Adam's got the best racket, but he's got all one seeds. One seed's on the two.
Johnny Flynn, winning it all.
Phil apparently looking for another Mr. Bracket to go alongside with him if he can't get a Mrs. Bracket out of this bracket challenge we've had here like he offered early in the show.
Dinner anytime.
All right, so thanks for listening. And with that, we're out.